Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
You're listening to Friends with Money, the Money Magazine podcast, creating financial freedom. This is Michelle Baltazar. I'm the editor-in-chief of Money Magazine, and I'm joined here today by Roger Kinsky, the author of Starting with Shares, A Beginner's Guide to Share Market Success. Roger has written 5 books on investing, and he was previously a teacher. So, Roger, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Michelle. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, I'm really excited to dig into your book, Starting with Shares, but I want to know first, why are you so passionate about educating people regarding investing in shares?
Well, Michelle, I've always enjoyed teaching. That's why I ended up being a teacher for 27 years with TAFE. And also, when I retired from TAFE, I part-time taught for another 20-odd years because I feel that, you know, I'm sort of an average guy in most respects, but I feel I do have one talent, and that is to explain difficult concepts in a way that most people can understand them, you see. And when I do that, when I'm able to do that, and someone says to me, well, I get it now, or that wasn't too hard, or yes, I can do that now, I get a real buzz out of that. I think that's wonderful. And I used to get that from my students at TAFE, and even after now I've retired from TAFE, my son, who's a teacher too, he gets people that I've taught in the past have come to him and told him that they really enjoyed my teaching and my teaching style and so forth. And I get feedback from my readers on my books. I get quite a few emails from readers, and I must say they're all positive. I've never had a bad one, and they all say that thank you much. You know, you've helped us and so on, and then sometimes they ask me a few questions, and I get a real buzz out of it. I think that's terrific to be able to help people by imparting what I know in a way that they can understand.
I know. It's really hard when you're looking at quite a technical topic, and it can be quite intimidating, isn't it, investing in the stock market, especially if you're not from the world of finance, shall we say. Now, in terms of this is now your 5th book on investing. Why did you want to write this book?
Well, to tell you the truth, I picked up a little book one day when I was in the library, and I took it home with me, and it was mainly illustrations with very little text in the book. It was only a small book, and I read through that, and I thought, that's brilliant. You know, he's illustrated the ideas he's wanted to put across by the use of pictures. So I thought, why can't I do the same with shares? Why, instead of having these verbose share investing books that the reader's got to plow through pages and pages, why don't we have illustrations to illustrate a point? So I talked to Wileys about it, and I got them enthused on the idea. So I started writing this book with the idea of it being containing many illustrations, many pictures. And that's my idea with this book, is to make it concepts understandable by means of not just the text but also the pictures, the illustrations. And their illustrations are often quite lighthearted and sort of a little bit humorous, and they just throw a different light on things, so people can sort of say, oh yeah, that explains that in a different way. For example, I compare share investing to a horse race, but where the horse is a runner running around a track that hasn't got a finish. There's no finishing post. And the observer is the investor, and he's looking on the side, he or she. She, actually, in my book, I use a she. And funnily enough, her name is Michelle, same as you. And she's looking on and watching her horse or her share running around this track competing with the other shares. So it sort of gives you a new insight that share investing is like a race, only it doesn't stop. It keeps going on and on.
I do like the illustrations in them because it just makes the topic a little bit more relatable and accessible. I'm even going through the book right now, and in one of the pages, you had a person who looks like me from the back scratching her head going, should I go with an online broker or go through the internet, do online trading? So is there a particular section in the book that you absolutely thought this is the best chapter. This is my favorite chapter.
I enjoyed writing all the chapters, but this book is different from all my other share investing books. So I've got a chapter in there on comparing share investing and gambling. And that came about because in one of my share investing classes, a student asked me the question, one of my participants asked me the question and said, isn't share investing really gambling, just a bit of glorified form of gambling? And I sort of didn't really have a good answer for it for him at the time until I went home and thought about it. And then I thought, well, probably a lot of people think that. A lot of people think, well, share investing is really just a glorified form of gambling. And it really isn't, you know, it isn't. There's a lot of differences. So I thought I'll put a chapter in there on comparing share investing and gambling. And that was real fun writing that because it actually brought out insights to me as well that I'd never thought about before.
That is a good point because I hear that all the time. Isn't, you know, investing just another form of gambling where the house always wins? That's always the scary bit, right? Where you feel like you're always at the losing end. Now, conversely, what was the hardest chapter for you to write and why?
I think the hardest chapter for me to write was chapter 8, where I discuss fundamental analysis. And fundamental analysis is where you look at the basics behind a company before you invest in it, and you look at things like their profitability and their sales record and their return on capital and all this sort of stuff. And there are so many things you can look at. You know, you look at the debt and the level of debt and all that sort of thing. And I really found it hard to decide what to put in and what to leave out because I didn't want to make the idea of the whole book is it's for a novice investor. It's not for somebody who's had a lot of experience in share investing. And I didn't want to intimidate people by putting in too much stuff and just scaring them away. At the same time, I wanted to keep the really essential stuff. So I had a lot of trouble deciding what to put in and what to leave out. But eventually, I think I succeeded reasonably well, or at least I hope I did.
I can see that there are a lot of tips in this chapter and certainly a lot of illustrations. I mean, sometimes I still struggle to talk to my friends who are not in finance about EPS, earnings per share, or PEs, price earnings. And you take it for granted that, you know, these are things that you want to explain in a simple way.
Yes, yes.
My next question to you, and this is one that I get asked a lot, is it ever too late to invest in shares?
The answer to that question is no, 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 no. It's always a good time to invest in shares, except there's only one exception to that, and that is when the share market is going through a downturn. It's obviously doesn't make sense to invest in shares if the market's heading south at a great rate of knots, which has happened in the past. I mean, you had the situation with the terrorist attacks in New York, where the share market in New York and throughout the world, they just died. In the middle of that dive, you wouldn't want to be investing in shares, right? And the same thing happened in the global financial crisis when that took up. All the share markets throughout the world took a great dive. I would stay right out of shares in that period of time. And also recently here with the COVID, when people started to realize that COVID was going to become a pandemic and everyone started getting frightened about what effect that would have on the economies throughout the world, and all share markets throughout the world took a dive. Now, I stayed right out of the share market during that time. I just sat on what I had and I didn't buy any more shares and I just sat tight and I waited for it to bottom. And then when it started to bottom, it started to climb back up, it's the time to get back in again and buy some more shares. So I would say it's a great time to invest any time except when the market's in a great downturn. And if you're young, you have the great benefit of being able to take advantage of compounding. And especially if you buy shares in a company, say something like a bank where they have a dividend reinvestment plan, you reinvest your dividends, you buy the shares, you reinvest your dividends, you sit back and you just watch your money grow and grow and grow. Now, if you're older, of course, you're not going to get that same effect of compounding as you would if you were younger. But even so, over a period of 5 years or 7 years, you can still get very good returns quite safely. And it's certainly nowadays, with interest rates the way they are, I think it's an absolute no-brainer to invest in shares. You have to invest in something. It's no good living your money in a safe bank account or a term deposit or something like that where you're earning a few percent, because inflation's now on the march. In Australia, inflation's up to about 3%, which is the government target. And if you've got money in an investment account and you're getting, say, 3%, you've got to pay income tax on that, so you're clear about 2%, then actually you're going backwards at a rate of 1%, because your money's losing value at the rate of 3%, you're only earning 2%. So you must get into something where you're going to make a much better return than the inflation rate.
And I was going to say, this is something that you've experienced time and time again, because for people who are going to read this book, like you said, they're novice investors. It is scary, because they really don't know, like that racehorse analogy. There is no finishing line. They don't know what's going to happen, when it's going to end.
Well, of course, nobody knows what's going to happen in the future. Nobody knows that. But all you can do is you've got to play the probabilities, and you've got to say, well, the probabilities say that the share market's gone up over a long period of time. The share market has made new highs. Now, I mean, where else are you going to invest? You can invest in property. Sure, I would never decry investing in property. Property is a good investment. It's been a good investment to me. I've had investment properties in the past, and they've been good. But the problem is now, to try and get investment in property in a major city, like even in the country cities around here where I live. I live down on the south coast in the Jervis Bay area. You can't buy anything under much of $1 million now. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. And they had a little shack by the water that they had an asking price of $3 million. And that was a little shack. Now, I mean, sure, if you want to get in and get yourself involved in a loan of millions of dollars, yeah, buy property. But I wouldn't do that. I think that's too risky, because if you lose your job there's a downturn in the economy or something like that, you're straddled with this huge debt. You can't repay it. But with shares, you can invest in shares for as little as $500. All you've got to do is get $500 and away you go. You can start buying shares.
Has the share market changed since COVID? And you talked about not investing when the market is down. Everyone's really worried about what's happening in Europe with the Russian invasion of Ukraine. What would you say to someone who's thinking about investing right now?
For a start, COVID is really not much of a consideration now. There's so many different vaccines that have come out against the various strains. I don't think it's a serious consideration anymore. And certainly after our market dived when the COVID first took hold, it quickly recovered. So, I mean, I don't think that's an issue. The war in Ukraine hasn't also had much effect on our market. It did originally. Our market dropped 10% or so, and then it's gradually picked itself back up again. And I don't think anyone's too concerned about it now. Not here. We're far enough away from it that it doesn't really concern us that much. There's always issues, and you could always say, well, I better not invest now because, you know, these are such and such issues. We don't know what's going to happen to Ukraine, and we don't know what's happening about COVID. But you never know anyway. You've got to use a bit of discretion, I suppose, and just say, well, it's never going to be perfect, but you're better to be in it than to be out of it.
Now, you touched on this a little bit earlier about inflation and interest rates going up, but is this really something that makes investing in shares certainly more appealing versus investing in property where, you know, higher mortgage repayments is a bad thing, whereas higher interest rates is good for shares?
Well, I think so, yes, definitely. I mean, but look, don't get me wrong, even though I've written 5 books on share investing and I've got all my spare money invested in shares, I wouldn't decry anyone investing in property. I mean, I'm not going to say that property can't be a good investment or isn't, maybe still not a good investment, but with inflation coming up, getting higher and higher, and interest rates are most likely going to go up, yes, it's becoming less attractive, and with the amount of a loan a person has to make to be able to buy a suitable property, you know, I think it's getting more and more risky. Whereas with shares, they won't be affected much by the inflation rate if it stays around the government target, which it looks like doing, around about 3%. So it just makes the argument more powerful for investing in shares.
But like you said, it's a case of not putting all your eggs in the one basket. It's diversifying.
Yes, by all means. Well, it depends how much money you've got. If you want to invest $500, if you've got $500 to invest in shares, you've got to be able to diversify. But if you've got, you know, several thousand dollars, yeah, by all means, you can diversify. You can spread the eggs around a bit. But, and if you have the choice, by all means, invest in property and invest in shares as well. You know, you can, you don't have to stick to just one. You know, I've always liked share investing and I've always done well. So it's something that I personally appeals to me.
Well, because of superannuation, technically, every working Australian is invested in shares now.
Yes.
Because we're all exposed to the stock market.
I'm curious,
though, because you are a shares expert, when you go to parties or when you go to someone's birthday, do you find that all your relatives come to you for free shares advice?
No. I do have with my son now. He's getting very interested in shares, so we do have conversations and send each other emails about shares that he suggests I invest in, and I give him shares I suggest he invest in, and all that sort of thing. We certainly do that, and I have a few friends. We chat about shares, you know, in different places, but I just correct one thing there, Michelle. I don't like to be regarded as an expert. I think that's terrible to call someone an expert. I don't regard myself as an expert at all. I'm just an ordinary person who's had an interest in shares and knows a bit about shares, and I'm happy to pass on my knowledge to other people. There are probably a lot of people out there that make a hell of a lot better share investors than I do, but I mean, but I just like to be able to pass on the knowledge I have, and as I said right at the start, in a way that they can understand, so that people can turn around and say, well, yeah, I understand that now. That makes sense. I can use that knowledge now to become a better investor. But the one key takeaway I would like to give everybody is that trust yourself. I think there's been too much tendency for people in the past just go to somebody and say, well, here's my money. You invested for me. I don't want to know about it. You're the financial advisor. You're the guru. You can do it for me. Well, I don't think people should get the idea that they've got to see a financial advisor or they've got to talk to a guru of some sort before they can invest in shares. Everyone's got enough knowledge to do it. But with the one proviso, I'd say is that you've got to get the idea of the basics. So I'm hoping that with my book, my latest book, once they've read through that, they'll have the basic knowledge to go out and start investing in shares. And everybody, I think, has got more sense and ability than they trust themselves with, because they think that's a tricky field, that you're investing. That's really, you know, an expert. I've got to leave that to the expert. You don't have to leave it to an expert.
I agree.
Yeah. So that's why I think I want readers to read my books and trust themselves to go out there and take control of their own destiny, their own financial destiny.
I agree. I think it's not just about control, but taking personal responsibility for your financial destiny, like you said. And with Money Magazine, what we try to talk to all these people who know about the subject, but ultimately it's the reader's responsibility to stay informed and make their decisions.
Yes,
absolutely. Make their investment decisions.
Absolutely.
And I really appreciate your time. It's great to have your company today.
Well, thank you, Michelle. I've enjoyed talking to you, and I hope that whoever listens to this podcast will feel motivated enough to go out and buy my latest book, Starting with Shares, and get started on the road if they're not already on the road, and if they're on the road already, that maybe pick up some ideas and tips and hints that they haven't thought about before that'll make them a better share investor and feel more confident about it.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au.
Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.